Good morning. I was going to say I give you now a man who needs no introduction, but I'm not sure that's true. I've tried to get around and meet most of you, but I haven't succeeded completely. And I wanted to have a chance to talk to you all at once, even though that has to be done three times. See? I got to figuring the other day and realized that shortly it'll be 6 months that I've been here. And I decided that it was time to be thinking about a 6-month report to you all. Keeping with my standard of doing everything ahead of schedule, that means I give you a 6-month report at the end of 5 months, you see. Which means it won't be as full, but you wait and see, because we've got a lot of things been going on around here. There are a number of people to whom I'm responsible, of course. President Johnson, Secretary Hodges, the Congress, those in the industry who live by what we dispense, the taxpayers who are paying for the subsidies as well as for our salaries. Come on down front, y'all. There's a lot of room down here. But the people to whom I owe the greatest responsibility, I think, is you all, because in a very real sense, this is your agency. This is your agency. I'm your guest, you see. It's also the agency of all the American people, of course, and I've already seen from the way you do your job that you're quite conscious of the trust that imposes upon you. But any agency is made up of people, and those people happen to be you. Now, the president can pick a maritime administrator, and the Senate can give their advice and consent. But when he gets over at the GAO building, somebody's got to welcome him and tell him what to do. And that's you all. And you do a wonderful job of it, I must say. And part of that comes from your experience, because you've been through this many times before, I know. But that doesn't detract at all for me from the warmth and skill with which you've done this. So, mostly, I guess, the reason I wanted to have a chance to talk to you this morning is just to say thank you. Thank you for responding with new ideas and new reports when called upon. Thank you for protecting me from some of my own new ideas when you weren't called upon, and for your courage in doing so. And most of all, thank you for your devotion, the kind of job you've been doing. A lot of hours of uncompensated overtime I know about, and I know there are a lot more I don't know about. So, mostly I want to just thank you. I'm not going to burden you this morning with a lot of personal reminiscences about the tens of thousands of miles I have traveled since March, or conversations with the president about the future of the Merchant Marine, that wonderful trip we took when the Savannah began finally its voyage this year with our then 6-week-old little boy. I'll save those for some other time. This morning, what I really want to talk with you about are some of the ideas that your office chiefs, my cabinet, have been thinking about with regard to where we're going, where we've been, what our goals are, what we see lies ahead. The theme we've struck in many speeches and public statements so far this year is a more adequate and economic merchant marine. To that, you and I can add as well a more adequate and economic maritime administration. I want to tell you a little bit about what we mean in general, and then give you some examples and specifics of things that you have achieved since March toward this goal. Now, by a more adequate merchant marine, we mean a merchant marine that is more responsive to the cargo-carrying needs of our country. A larger merchant marine, and one that can carry other than the general cargo that represents only 15% of our imports and exports. We also mean a merchant marine that is responsive in ships of a size and speed, capacity, automation that will fit them for the future competition they must face. What do we mean by a more economic merchant marine? We mean a more competitive merchant marine. There's no doubt in the mind of any of us that a subsidy system of some sort is necessary if we are to have an American merchant marine. There is no desire to abolish the subsidy system. Our desire, however, is to make it a more economic system, a system which year by year provides a greater return on the government's investment rather than less, a greater return for the companies rather than less. And our optimism is full that such a system can be devised, and that is one of our goals at this time. Now, why do we want a more economic merchant marine? There are really two reasons. The one hand is, as government servants, we have an obligation to get maximum return on the government's investment. You know that, you've demonstrated it, and I'll tell you specifics later on. President Johnson has asked us for such an effort, and we're certainly going to make it on his behalf, if for no other reason. Beyond that, however, I think we have a selfish reason in striving for a more economic merchant marine, and that is that adequacy and economy go hand in hand. We cannot go to the American people and tell them that we want to double the fleet by doubling the subsidy. No one will buy that program. No one should. So in order for us to sell the American people on a more adequate merchant marine, we must come forward with a way of doing it more economically. And that's what we are about. Now, what do we mean by a more adequate maritime administration? We mean our constant devotion to the attempt to find the better way, the program that we reward in our incentive awards program. And I met with three nice young ladies yesterday and presented them with checks for awards for suggestions they had submitted. I have said on other occasions, and I'll say again now, I think that my goal, at least, is nothing less than the very best for the Maritime Administration. I would like to see this become one of the most progressive and dynamic agencies in Washington. I think we're well on our way to that goal. We have a ways to go. We're making progress. I'm pleased and I'm confident. I think it's especially important that an effort to make for a more adequate maritime administration recognizes the human dignity that it need be accorded every government employee. I happen, from my own background and experience, to have a very high regard for the civil service, and that helps. But that is a part of our goal. A part of that, I think, is making available opportunity for advancement, opportunity for growth for those who want it, to the full limit of your capabilities, whatever they may be, with tasks that stretch your capacity beyond what you may have realized you have. Many of you have already been demonstrating such a response. There are a number of ways in which we've done this so far. We have a new program reporting system that you may know about and have participated in one way or another. Through this program, we've enabled many people in this agency who have never attended a staff meeting before in their 25 years of service with the Maritime Administration to make presentations to the whole staff of their program and take responsibility for reporting on it. Shortly, you will hear of a management training program I've recently inaugurated that will make available to those in the agency now the opportunity for management training. We will also be sending out a questionnaire to find out more about many of the talents and skills that you have that are hidden, that are not now used, that perhaps you would like to use. 100 Maritime Administration employees participated last year in various seminars and training programs, and we intend to increase that number this year. We need, like any institution, to plan for the future. Who will be our office and division chiefs 20 years from today? And a part of that program means that we need to bring in young college graduates, and we will be doing that beginning next summer as a result of a college recruitment program this fall. They'll be coming in at relatively low salaries and will be available to help you with the programs you're now working on. Finally, I think it is very important that you all understand that it is our goal to strive to establish a promotion system that is based more on merit than on the happenstance of there being an opening above you. And you will be hearing more about that as time goes on. What do we mean by a more economic maritime administration? We mean doing the job at the lowest possible cost consistent with our responsibility. This year, as you may know, is the 10th anniversary year of the Incentive Awards Program, and President Johnson has announced his intention to make awards to those agencies which have demonstrated outstanding performance in this way. The Maritime Administration has always been outstanding within the Commerce Department, both in the terms of number of suggestions and in the number of accepted suggestions, implemented suggestions, which seems to me to be even more relevant. And I anticipate we will be again this year. Well, those are some of our goals. What have we done in the last six months? Office chiefs and I were sitting around the other day and came up with what I think is a quite impressive list. I don't have time this morning, the time remaining to me, to cover all these items, but I want to touch a few and give you a sense of the direction and motion we do have in this agency. Let me say at the outset, I take no credit for this. These are your achievements, not mine. But I'm proud of them, and I want to share that pride with you. There have been a number of advances in the industry and technology that we can report since March. Might be summarized as 3 ships and 53 documents. The 3 ships, the first, the Savannah, the nuclear ship, a crew of 98, drawn from the Maritime Administration operating that ship, 16 of them here from Washington. The Mather, a bulk carrier on the Great Lakes, operating with a fully automatic boiler, requiring no firemen at all, granted Coast Guard certification recently, a product of our research and development office. The Mormac Argo, the first of our new mechanized ships, went on its sea trial last month with an inquisitive maritime administrator on board and a frightened Lud Hoffman, I should add, as I was climbing the radar tower. We found it in ship shape, and it's going to be delivered the 14th of this month. The 53 documents, that's what it takes to ship cargo on an American ship. 53 independently prepared documents, lots of typing, lots of paper. We now have a system under our document simplification program for eliminating that and making it possible to do all that work with one typing job, one master preparation, something that you ladies can certainly appreciate as a great advance, and it is, and a tremendous economy. There's much more to come in the way of computer processing of these documents. But we're always interested in the size of the fleet. We hear a lot about it dwindling. The fact is, last month, for the first time, the number of ships under the American flag increased. We now have 36 ships in construction in American yards to improve our American fleet. 6 new awards since March. A bid of 4 U.S. line ships opened this week, an award to Sun. And the Office of Ship Construction has as well prepared 2 new ships for the Coast and Geodetic Survey, 2 of the most modern ships in the world to perform that function. Like the automobile dealer, we have used ships as well as new ships. We put 18 C4s into service, which means $70 million worth of work for American shipyards, and we have more plans for the reserve fleet as well. These 18 ships alone have increased the carrying capacity of the ships they replace by some 25%. The Department of Defense has a cost reduction program you may have heard about. Secretary McNamara recently made a presentation at a cabinet meeting at the invitation of President Johnson. They set a goal of $1.5 billion saving for last year. At the end of the year, they added it up, found they'd saved $2.5 billion. Secretary McNamara crediting this to the tremendous number of people within the Defense Department who had participated in this cost reduction program. Note that the program does not involve the cancellation of any undertaking. Our military strength is greater. It involves simply doing the job the better way, the more economic way. We have similar goals. $1.5 billion, $2.5 billion for the Defense Department is equal to about $10 million for the Maritime Administration. Let me tell you some of the highlights. The Ship Construction Office has a value engineering program that enables them to pick the best and the cheapest way of doing the job. As a result of this program, they've saved $1.5 million this past year. Those of you who are administering the reserve fleet decided to take a look at the preservation cycle, decided it could be altered, at a resulting saving of $500,000 this last year, 15,000 man days of work, $2.5 million over the next 5 years. The ship scrapping program, some 76 ships scrapped last year. This year we used some imagination, decided we could put one up as an Alaska fish cannery, Another is a wheat warehouse in Alabama. A third is a part of a highway erosion program in North Carolina. The result, we were able to set a goal of 100 ships for scrapping instead of 76. Added revenue, $1 million to the Treasury Department. It now appears we may be able to go to 111 ships, which will provide another $500,000 or $1 million for the Treasury. We've been instituting automatic data processing schemes in the agency, as you may know, in budgetary matters, saving some $8,600. New paper handling system for checks, saving some $2,900. Meanwhile, we're constantly conscious of the problems of administering an agency of this size. One of the first tasks I confronted when arriving here was the discovery that I was also chairman of something called the Maritime Subsidy Board, and that it had had a backlog for some time. We set a goal of clearing this in 60 days, discovered we'd done it in 30 days, taking some 233 actions in 45 meetings since the 1st of March. I don't need to tell you about that because you prepared all the papers that we had to process. But as a tremendous achievement, we've stayed current ever since the 1st of April. We've instituted the new program reporting system I've told you about that will enable us to present to you on future occasions descriptions of the programs that we now have at the Maritime Administration. We've made every effort to improve relations with the district offices. The district directors have been here. The district personnel directors have been here. I have been in every district at least twice since coming to office. The Office of Budget and Management, meanwhile, has been simplifying the reports we require from the industry. The Budget Bureau identified some 62 reports, of which only 30 are now remaining unaltered. 17 have been simplified, 15 have been eliminated altogether. They will be instituting a cost-finding system this month that will enable us to know more about the cost of operating our own programs. Labor relations, always a highlight in the Maritime Administration. Since March, I think, been a little smoother perhaps than before. Again, I take no credit for the fact that 3 days after I arrived, the Russian wheat problem was solved, in large measure by Marty Goodman joining the delegation that went to Russia. I stayed home. But 3 months of grief came to a halt quickly. We were able to ship 50% of the remaining wheat in American ships, and I think relations with the labor leaders have been pretty good. The grievance committee was established out of that wheat deal. As you know, it has held 3 meetings. It likewise is current in its docket, now finds it has nothing for the agenda for the next meeting. The Maritime Advisory Committee, appointed by the president, many of you may have read about, held its first meeting this week, chaired by Secretary Hodges, who was appointed the Maritime Administrator as Executive Director. We're hopeful that many of the programs we're now talking about in the Maritime Administration will soon be considered by that presidential committee. Our biggest business, of course, is cargo movement. Pleased to report that the amount shipped on American ships last year did not decrease, but increased. 1% in imports, some 6% in exports. You may have read something about the lumber piling up in the Northwest without adequate ships available. There were some 19 million board feet sitting on the dock. In July, our Office of Cargo Promotion went into action. 133 million board feet were shipped during the next 60 days, and the problem evaporated. Ports, another area of activity for the Maritime Administration. You will recall the great tragedy in Alaska, the earthquake, that produced great port damage. I was immediately in contact with Governor Egan, Senator Bartlett, and others. We sent Howard Marsden up there for a very cold and rough 3 weeks of travel. With Huxtable from the Pacific Coast District. They're now in the process of preparing a report that will be a tremendous contribution to the people of Alaska in developing their new transportation system. The Office of Statistics has prepared a number of valuable reports. Report on worldwide government shipping aids for the Joint Economic Committee, for the first time giving us information about what other countries are doing for their merchant marine. The contribution of federal aid programs to ocean-borne foreign commerce came out just a couple weeks ago, and a document of which I'm especially pleased, the statistical analysis of the world's merchant fleet. In the field of subsidy administration, we're likewise not only thinking of new subsidy systems, but doing the best with the system we have. A new scheme for calculating wage costs will produce a saving of $1.5 million in 1962. Another $1 million in 1963. Meanwhile, the Title XI program since March has undertaken guarantees on 5 more ships, another $21 million worth of work. The General Counsel's Office has a special contribution to cost saving. A Supreme Court case this last year, since March, that a decision regarding payments under bareboat charters on a sliding scale actually affected some 78 cases involving more than $20 million, cases pending throughout the United States. A tremendous achievement for the Office of General Counsel, a tremendous saving for the United States government, won the Department of Justice credits to the Maritime Administration and its Office of General Counsel. The Public Information Office, as you know, has been writing more and enjoying it less, perhaps, but at least turning out a tremendous number of releases. You may have seen the new information board on the third floor by the elevators, the new literature distribution rack, and the new arrangement of ships, and there will be more to come. Well, that's about it. Only because I don't have more time, I can't talk any faster. We've been doing quite a bit, I think, together here since March. As I said at the outset, I give you credit for it and take none of it to myself, except that I am very proud of what you have done. We have set our goal of a more adequate and economic merchant marine. We have set goals higher in some cases than we know we can achieve, because stretching for them is good exercise, and because we often surprise ourselves at what we're able to do. So my thanks to you, especially for your indulgence and endurance in sitting here and listening to this. I appreciate very much your coming by and this chance to visit with you a bit, and looking forward to seeing you again. Thank you.